fighting for America.
The media market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDOAM, Boise, Idaho.
Fighting for Idaho.
I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Thank you all for joining us. Yesterday it was a big day, a historic day. The Supreme Court of the nation was waiting for the Supreme Court actually to step up, and the Supreme Court decided, well, we're going to be cowards. We're going to pass the buck, if you will. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I have gotten my legal education by watching Law and Order, Criminal Intent, not even the good Law and Order. So we brought in our House counsel, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law here, who I actually had to physically restrain from coming in yesterday. He was so anxious to discuss the implications of the gay marriage debate ending, I suppose. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
Well, I'm wondering, we call them a Supreme Court of cowards with our latest blog at 580kido.com. Am I not right? Has the Supreme Court passed the buck here?
What do you mean, we, paleface? Well, the Supreme Court did, in fact, render a decision. It's not a decision that many in Idaho appreciate.
Or the nation, I think, for that matter.
Well, it's an interesting situation, and I think it's incorrect to say that they didn't make a decision. They did, in fact, make a decision. They made a decision not to conduct a hearing on the issue. And by so doing, they've affirmed the decisions that were rendered in Indiana, Oklahoma, Utah, Virginia, and Wisconsin regarding the question as to whether or not gay and lesbian couples would be able to marry. And it is a misnomer by some, including you, saying that they didn't make a decision. They did, in fact. It's basically called tacit consent. When the court decides for whatever reason not to accept a case, it's the lower court's ruling that stands as what we say in the Latin, stare decisis, meaning that it's case precedent from that point forward.
Right, but this is America. And let's face it, the Supreme Court decided DOMA with their cowardly decision a year before, and Prop 8 a year before, by saying, I'm sorry that the state can only defend a law that they passed, a constitutional amendment being Prop 8. So since the conservatives, since the people spent their own money, we're going to disenfranchise you, we're going to devalue you, you have no legal right to defend Prop 8, so we're going to kick it back to the Lib Court. And then we have, the getting rid of DOMA, which was, again, kind of confusing. Heck, didn't Kennedy, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and you'll take joy in this, at 580KIDO, didn't Kennedy pretty much give people the blueprint on how to overturn this last year with Windsor?
What's interesting in this particular case, as in every case involving constitutional rights, you have on the one end the argument for mob rule. As you've been talking with Dave earlier this morning, you have a situation where the people have spoken. They've rendered their election. We have modified our Constitution. And on the other hand, you have individual freedom, and you have constitutional rights based upon individual
freedom.
How can
you define that as mob rule when two-thirds of the state, or 63% of the state of Idaho, said, look, we believe in this. We're going to pass it. They went through the Constitution. They did everything right. And then you have four people from the tyranny of the judiciary, the tyranny of the black, the tyranny of the bench, overturning the will of the people.
It's the tyranny of the mob rule, meaning the tyranny of the majority that impinges upon individual freedom and individual rights in this case.
And where,
let me give you this example.
But where is it in the Constitution that says that gay marriage is a constitutional right?
It's an individual freedom of equal protection under the law. If the government says
open to interpretation,
if the government says this class of people are able to marry and another group are not, that poses the interplay between what's referred to as equal protection. What if
then let
you're
the Supreme
in a state where the majority of the people say, we're going to take away your guns. You don't have a right to have a gun. And the majority says that.
I would quote the Second Amendment in the Constitution,
exactly.
Not some nebulous backstop for all, which is, what, the 14th Amendment?
What you're dealing with exactly is the question of equal protection under the law. You know, it's really interesting in this case because of the political overtones and the downstream effect that this decision is going to have. We've talked here on this program repeatedly about what's next. What are we to expect with regard to bigamy, polygamy?
And well, before we get to that, 580KIDO, you're the rational one here. You've got Justices Roberts, Alito, Scalia, Thomas. What was the deal there? Why didn't they pick this up?
We don't know. That's the thing about a tacit consent. They don't have to explain and they don't justify. But my speculation deals with is these bright nine justices in deciding this case know that they're not deciding this case in a vacuum like they did in the Bush v. Gore, where they said we're just limiting our decision to this particular set of facts.
I missed that court.
There's going to be a reckoning here, and there's going to be other cases that are going to be argued and decided. It'll be interesting to see what Idaho has to bring to the forum, whether or not the governor and our attorney general are going to decide to spend millions of dollars in trying to overturn or reverse this recent decision.
The governor is a big fan of traditional marriage. We go to pro-life at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller and our special guest, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. And you got to put on the headphones there, Alan L. Morton. Pro-life, good morning.
Yeah, you know, when you have natural law and judges don't even recognize natural law, I mean, you know, could judges say that there's not a law of gravity and we'd all have to buy that?
Yeah, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law.
And, you know, these people that are arguing that homosexual marriage should be legal, they're just ignoring natural law. It's just totally ridiculous. And everybody knows that. And why the people put up with this is crazy to me. And you would think that if our Congress had any kind of a backbone at all, they would say to the Supreme Court judges, any of these judges, listen, law is not made by judges. Legislatures and Congress make the law. And so if you're going to do this, we're going to impeach you for...
Well, hold on, pro-life. Let's go to our officer of the court, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Pro-life says you have no authority.
Well, the Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter of what constitutes a law that is constitutional versus that which is not. And they have at least tacitly spoken on this particular issue. I do take issue respectively with the caller's comment that we're talking about natural law. I don't know what natural law you're referring to. The government is the one that imposes, well, we have a constitution, and then the government issues laws, whether it pertains to the constitution or not thereafter, but it's the Supreme Court that makes that determination as to what's constitutional. Now, in this particular case, they simply punted this to the lower court. My speculation, though, in answer to your earlier question, Kevin, is why did they do this? And I think that they're staring down the road here, not just the implication of what happens to the gay community, but with regard to the issue of bigamy and polygamy. It's coming right down the pike. And I think what they're trying to decide as a court is how are we going to handle these issues.
What, by just letting the lower court? Pro-life, thank you for the call. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, with us. As we continue on, looking at the ramifications, so you're saying polygamy, bigamy, blah, 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 me could be next. I mean, what is the standard here? Because couldn't an erudite attorney argue, well, you know, let's go back to equal protection. My person likes, you know, three wives, or my client has five husbands, and you can't choose who you love, and they should be equally protected.
This is the problem that I've always wrestled with personally. You know, on the one hand, you have these feelings or contentions that Mr. Pro-Life called about natural law or the Judeo-Christian thought concerning about what's moral and what is not. And then on the other hand, you have constitutional authorities trying to wrestle with the questions of equal rights for all. I've always had a concern or a problem with the court trying to tell consenting adults what to do with respect to the contracts that they enter into as informed and consenting adults. What role does government have in being able to tell people who they can marry and who they can't? Now, I can understand the parameters of the law, as I indicated on your Facebook page, where we're talking about, someone said, the government has no right to talk about marriage at all. But then I said, what do you do with the 40-year-old who wants to marry a 14-year-old?
Yeah, but on the other hand, and look, we could see that happening too, number one. And number two, let's take, because who's to deny true love, according to the Supreme Court, at 580-5436? And here's the other issue that gets me. That, you know, politically, how far we've come from civil unions to overturning constitutional amendments in, what, less than 10 years, 15 years?
Well, that's,
culturally?
That's very true, but that's the way the ball rolls in the judiciary. You know, each case is decided or not on their merits, and it's one case after another. The court doesn't make a sweeping decision as to what the law ought to be except for the facts of the case presented. Am I disappointed that the court didn't have a hearing and write a decision? No, absolutely. I think I'm just like everyone else. It would have been interesting to see the court's reasoning here rather than a tacit, we're not going to hear this, therefore the lower court's decision stands.
Have you ever seen anything like this in your career, in your history as an American, where states within 10 years, let's say 10 years started passing these amendments? Overwhelmingly, look, let's just go back 2 years where you had 34 states, that marriage was defined by state constitution as that between a man and a woman. And within 2 years, you're going to see a swing where those are done. Has that ever happened that you know of?
There's one analogy that comes to mind, and that deals with the question of desegregation of the schools back in the 60s and 70s, where after Kennedy was elected, Bobby Kennedy was appointed as the Attorney General, who was the brother of JFK, and they went out and they targeted education as a means of public policy of integration over segregation. And the court was required, in essence, to take on these cause celebres. And that's exactly what's happening here.
But that was from the federal government, not allegedly from individuals in each state.
Well, it started, as you know, having been in Alabama,
George Wallace, yes.
You know,
courthouse door,
making the statement, segregation forever. And then lawsuits were filed, and the courts had to deal with it.
But that's different from what we're seeing here. Segregation in the South had been there for years. It was an institution, separate but equal. More coming up with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, as he's firing it up. Plus, we're going to talk a little politics. We'll get his insight to... You dabble in politics occasionally, do you not?
On occasion.
All right. We'll also take your phone calls. Time to get up and start the day. 48 right now in Meridian at 580KIDO. Time for traffic. Good morning.
Quincy, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Getting your reaction to the Supreme Court non-decision with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. All right, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. What does this mean? Are we going to see cases now brought by Cody Has Six Wives, the Sister Wives show, Billy Bob and Timmy redefining marriage now?
I think so. I absolutely do. I think that's the next issue on the horizon. You know, we're not done with the gay marriage issue. You know, Idaho is going to take a shot at it. So will others on different arguments. But clearly, there's an opinion that needs to be addressed. Our local U.S. federal magistrate wrote a very well-reasoned decision, albeit it was controversial and not accepted by, I think, the majority of Idahoans. It was well-reasoned and discussing the competing interests of the government's decision-making authority on the one hand, and based upon the electoral process or the election process,
right,
through versus individual rights. And understanding the historical context of the document in proscribing or limiting the role of government in the lives of people. And
next for churches now?
Well, the churches are exempt from this. In other words...
Sure they are, until they take them to court.
Well, even if... Well, that's not going to get anywhere on first base because the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, any other religion that says, look, we're just not going to honor... a person's request to marry in our facility, the government can't make the church subscribe to.
You know, you have a priest in Louisiana who is being held in contempt and possibly could do some serious jail time because the government wants to compel him to reveal what was said in confession, which, as a Catholic, as a former Catholic, I believe you would know, and as a current Catholic, I would know, that you can't do that. That is sacred. That is... of religious grounds, and now we have attacks on religions from all over, from the government. Hey, you lose your tax-exempt status, or you marry the gays. Which is it, Father?
From state by state, these issues are dependent upon certain elements of privilege that are codified in rules of evidence and rules of procedure. And you're addressing what's referred to as the priest-penitent privilege. In Idaho, Idaho has infringed upon the rule by saying that a priest's confessional isn't sacred in the area of child abuse, and but that's the only area in Idaho that I know of.
Right, but back to the point here at 580KIDO. Let's face it: if all of a sudden there are attacks, I would not be surprised with this administration or any administration that they do not attack religious freedom and say, I'm sorry, Catholic Church, you've had 2,000 years of teaching, you're going to do this or else.
Well, the First Amendment trumps on this particular
issue. I thought
issue.
The Second Amendment trumped, but in the land of your former homeland, they can take away your guns.
Well, that fight is still in the process and in the works. And
see, like, but you're not disputing my points here.
Well, I'm not, you know, because, again, the problem that you have with law is it's a fluid concept, and these are issues that are continually fought on a case-by-case basis. People are going to file lawsuits.
How can we continually file this when all of a sudden you say the First Amendment's absolute, and yet you're saying, yeah, but that won't stop anybody from challenging it, and if you get some crazy, wacko, progressive, lib judge, like we've seen throwing out these constitutional amendments across the country, you could have somebody saying, well, I'm sorry, I'm redefining the First Amendment, saying everybody's equal.
Well, that's what we have to find, but, you know, is
so you're saying that's a possibility.
It's a possibility, but like George Orwell wrote, we're all equal, just some are more equal than others.
628 at 580KIDO. So basically the Supreme Court has made this worse.
I don't think so. I think they've spoken loud and clear through their tacit consent. Gay marriage is a reality now. It's happening today.
Incredible.
Today people are getting married.
Not in Idaho, but let's find out what's going on in Utah.
And more than anything, families in Utah and in states in the 10th Circuit and other circuits across the country can now plan their lives like every other person in the country.
Not in the 9th Circuit, buddy.
I'm overjoyed. This is our anniversary. We made our commitment 3 years ago, and today the state of Virginia has acknowledged it.
This has been wonderful to be able to have this after 31 years.
You wanted to say something?
What's an interesting issue here is that...
It's not black and white. It's touchy-feely. It's emotion.
When you have a gay couple in Utah get married there and then move to Idaho, what are the parameters that Idaho has in either giving full faith and credit to that marriage or trying to infringe upon it? We've had lots of discussion about that from the tax code. And I think that the answer to that lies inherent in the Constitution itself, that regardless of whether or not you agree with the law in any other state, the Constitution requires that the states give full faith and credit to another state's decision.
You're full of good news. We go to Sam and Cuna at 580KIDO with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, and humbly his steward. Good morning, Sam.
Hi. My question for Alan was that you're saying just a minute ago that the churches are exempt from any ruling saying that they would have to marry gays or anything like that. And my question is, as a lawyer, you're going to make a ton of money off of that. What's to keep people from just suing the churches until they go broke?
Well, nothing.
Yeah, really.
I think it's, well, in Idaho, let me give you an example. The argument would be if we were defending the church would be as saying that because the Supreme Court has not rendered any ruling, the case president says the law is clear that the church is able to make its decisions on its own as to who its membership will be and who they cater to. And if you're challenging that law, the question then would be whether or not that case is frivolous, meaning without foundation to fact or law, nor is there a good faith argument for the extension, modification, or reversal of existing law. And therefore, the church would be entitled to its attorney's fees and costs. I would not take that case.
Right, but this could happen. This could happen. That's the issue. Sam, thank you for the call. Let's go to Lori at 580KIDO. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. I'm calling about the statement that it's a fundamental right, that same-sex marriage is a fundamental right. And in the case of when Utah, I'd recommend that reading of the appellant's response in the Utah case and also Idaho. We have an attorney here in town that just argued the Idaho case to the circuit court.
Sure. Now, do you have a question or a comment for Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, on what we're talking about?
Okay. My comment is that in the court did find in the controlling case, Baker versus Nelson, that there was no fundamental right to same-sex marriage.
And that's really
the controlling law in that case, and that they found that it was an appeal by in the state of Minnesota denying marriage license, and the court held that there was no they're not deprived of liberty without due process or under the 14th Amendment, and they sharply rebuffed the same-sex marriage that it was a fundamental right, saying the due process clause of the 14th Amendment is not a charter for restructuring marriage by judicial legislation.
Well, the Supreme Court should have taken that up. Yeah.
Well, the problem that you're talking about is you're making quotes from a brief, an appellate brief, which is comprised of either the side that's appealing the decision of the court and those who are responding. And you've made a quote from the respondent's brief, but all that is one word, argument. It's the decision that is considered law, not a person's argument. And you're raising some interesting arguments, but the court didn't agree with you, nor did they agree with the respondents. The arguments that have been presented to the lower court in these five states basically said that that there is a fundamental right.
Where is that in the Constitution?
Same place in the Constitution where you find the right of privacy. As
isn't that
Justice
the Fourth
Donald
Amendment?
Said,
isn't that the Fourth Amendment, the right of privacy?
No, it's not. What it is
unlikely
that
search and seizure without a warrant.
You won't find the term in the Constitution. But what you have is what Justice Douglas said many decades ago, is that within the penumbra or within the shadow of the Constitution permeates the issue of privacy. And that's the same thing here. Equal protection under the law is equal
privacy
protection.
Privacy is warrants and habeas corpus and everything else. Lori, anything else for Alan L. Morton, attorney at law?
Yes. That what I was quoting is from a Supreme Court decision.
Yeah,
Alan. And they've declined to take this up because they don't want to reverse themselves. They said this is just because it's an appellant brief doesn't mean, or a respondent's brief doesn't mean that it's not quoting the law that they had made previously. They said that there was no fundamental right to the 14th Amendment. And I disagree with these judges and they're split everywhere. Every one of the decisions is different.
Well,
some of them find it in the 14th Amendment, some find it somewhere else.
Well,
there is no fundamental right.
Right, there is no consistency. Lori, thank you for the call. More coming up. Your calls at 580-5436 on the Supreme Court ruling. And are the churches next? I believe that they are, and we'll talk a little politics. Stay tuned. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us at 580-KIDO.
Virginia can now get married.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
I'm going to have a good day. I've been with Andrew for 16 years. We've wanted to get married. We have a beautiful 4-year-old boy together.
This is a day of celebration and victory for all of Utah, for all families.
There's now nothing that stands in the way of marriage equality in Colorado.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KITO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KITO, more coming up with the pugnacious Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. And we'll talk more about the Supreme Court ruling and get into Idaho politics in a minute. But joining us now from ITD, Reed Hollinshead. Reed, good morning.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Boy, thank you for making time with us this morning. I was just trying to explain what the heck is going on around Eagle Road and Meridian to Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. And I said, you just need to listen to this segment. So big news today for commuters.
Yes, we are doing the westbound crossover starting. In fact, it's in place right now. The big impact will be folks going home today. That's the first time there'll be a large volume of traffic on the westbound freeway. And then a week down the road, we'll do the eastbound crossover as well.
So what actually is going to happen? There's going to be some lane switching and such?
Yeah, what we're doing is so that we can access the outside lanes and do some reconstruction there, because those lanes haven't been rebuilt since the 60s. We are going to move traffic towards the middle, which is now done, and so that'll free up those outside lanes.
Any advice to people that are going to be extremely frustrated? Obviously, very dangerous when you're doing the lane changes and such.
Well, if your intention is to use the Eagle ramp, get off at the Eagle ramp, you're going to need to make that decision and make sure you don't get in the lane that does cross over, because that lane will be separated from the other lanes by solid barriers, and you won't be able to get back over.
I see. Any advice for people to be very cautious? Because, again, you've got workers out there, you've got equipment, and we all need to pay attention.
Exactly. It's the same advice as we give in construction situations all around the valley and the state is just slow down. Be aware that you're in a confined space. The space around you is going to be limited. You won't have as much reaction time if things start to go south on you. So just to slow down, obey signs, especially speed limit signs. Be aware of workers and equipment around you that might be in the proximity. And if it's possible to find an alternate route, do so. I know that alternate routes are not always a possibility, but if that is a possibility, then we encourage that.
And a final question here. How long do you expect this to increase the commutes?
This actually will be in place. The good news is we're really hoping and striving for having this completely done by the time winter comes around, so that we can open those lanes up to four lanes in each direction during the wintertime commute, so that you don't have the restriction of a construction space at the same time as you've got slicker winter weather conditions. So the goal, it definitely will happen, is it will open that back up to four lanes in each direction during the winter. We just hope to have all of this work out of the way before that happens.
Reed, we appreciate it. Good luck today, sir.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Have a good day, Kevin.
You too. Take care.
Okay.
580 KITO, and of course, going on behind the scenes, I've got Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, yelling at me to ask proper questions. Let's go back to the phones, and we are talking about the Supreme Court's non-decision, the Supreme Court of Cowards, as I'm calling them, and you being diplomatic because you work in that endeavor. Are you worried about upsetting the Supreme Court?
No, not at all. You have to understand how the Supreme Court works behind the scenes.
We know how it works. They pass the buck. Let's go to Gene and Cuna with our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, and Kevin Miller. Hello, Gene.
Good morning, my brother. Counselor, it's a pleasure there. I've just got a couple of questions. How can we fight this thing? And my second question is, if you remember not too long ago, well, I'm not sure exactly how long ago, but there was a gentleman that made cakes back east somewhere, and he was basically run out of business because he refused to make a cake for a gay wedding. And I'm just wondering, what's next, if they can run a small businessman out of business, basically, is it going to be the same with churches? And if I'm not even going to call them gay, because that's a misuse of a wonderful word back in the day, that when people were gay, they were happy and carefree, and boy, talk about putting a foul spin on it. But
sounds like the gays
married,
are pretty happy today.
Yeah. But if they get married in another state, say like Utah, Colorado, Oregon, someplace, and then they decide to move here to Idaho, how do we deal with the impact of this?
Because guess who's coming to dinner?
Yeah, really, and it's not Sidney Poitier either.
Well, you've asked a great question, and I'll tell you what the answer is. It's by way of constitutional amendment. The Supreme Court essentially...
And didn't we do that and we got hosed already?
No, I'm not talking about amending the state constitution as we've already done. I'm talking about amending the federal constitution.
Oh, boy.
That's the process of how to deal with this. And that's where your fight's going to be. Now that the Supreme Court has basically spoken by tacit consent, the only way to deal with that on a head-on issue, if you want to take what we refer to as the mob rule, take the people...
It's not the mob rule when it's a constitutional amendment. Mob rule is when you have polls and everything else making decisions. That's a true democracy, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. Is majority
republic.
Rule is always considered mob rule.
Not by Hamilton.
To the adversaries that are in the minority interest. And so,
yeah, the David Axelrods of the world.
Yeah, there you go. Or Palouf.
Boys.
But the issue in this particular case, though, is it's a great question, and that is, where do we go from here? And the answer is to exercise the process of constitutional amendments. You're going to get a core group of conservatives, the Ted Cruzes of the world, so to speak, the Raul Labradors of the world, are going to get together, and they're going to legislate a constitutional amendment to make an exception to the Constitution under equal protection. And if that law is passed, then it has to be ratified by the states. And if it's ratified, then it becomes a part of the Constitution. And that's basically what it is. You're going to face this issue coming down the pike with polygamy. And the court can only, when I grew up, you can run, but you can't hide.
Gene, thank you for the call. Let's go to Tea Party Bob here, who says, you know, whatever happened to the 10th Amendment? Whatever happened to the 10th Amendment? Why would, in heaven's name, would our forefathers have set up a system where 9 individuals have the power to set up the rule of law for our country, as opposed to derailing the will of the states?
Well, the point is that the 10th Amendment doesn't apply to the judiciary in that particular case. That's talking about...
Does that say in the Constitution the 10th Amendment doesn't apply to the judiciary?
Well,
that's exempt?
You're dealing with the constitutional framework of federal versus states. But now we're talking a different issue, dealing with addressing constitutional individual liberty versus the prescription and proscription of what state and local governments can do. And so the individual liberty, in most cases, is going to trump under equal protection under the law. Basically, what the lower courts are saying, as what happened in Idaho, the deliberation and the decision of the courts are you have a certain segment of laws that allow consenting adults to marry as a man and woman in this case, but that does discriminate against gays and lesbians and transsexuals. And so the issue in this
particular... Well, transsexuals, where did that come in? You know, now we're adding people to the group. What's next? We'll find out with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, 580-5436. 580-KIDO, time for traffic. Good morning.
And Wiley, weekdays at 6. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And don't forget, Thursday, we'll be at Bishop Kelly and be listening today for the Tway Travel Great Adventure City at 720. And then I'll tell you the chance to get your second chance, what show to listen to as well. More details at 580KIDO.com. Quickly to Ron Paul Jim for Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Good morning, Ron Paul Jim. We've only got seconds, so they're yours.
Good morning. I was just trying to point out that the discrimination is not existent because marriage has always been defined as between a man and a woman. They're expanding the definition to include all sorts of combinations where that should be called something else in order, you know, it can't be used as discriminating because gays, men and women, were allowed to marry the same, by the same definition as heterosexuals. They just had to marry the opposite sex. So the definition of marriage is still consistent, and they could still marry the opposite sex despite being gay.
Discrimination is basically defined as the unjust or prejudicial treatment of different categories of people or things, especially on the grounds of race, age, or sex. Gender as well.
You just said they're defining different groups. Well, you can define marriage by the same way you can define a group or class of people.
Well, we have no disagreement. The point is that the concept of marriage has now been included in the class where the government isn't able to discriminate or people on an unequal basis saying that a man and a woman can marry. That's not changed, but they're just including into the scope of that people of the same gender are now able to marry. What's unanswered is what about the laws that prohibit against bigamy and polygamy?
It should be called something else, is what I'm trying to say.
And that's where we're going to have to leave it. Thank you, Ron Paul, Jim. Thank you, Alan Lomond, attorney at law. Quickly to traffic. Coming up next, Bill Gertz will join us. We'll talk ISIS, ISIL, China, and all things national security. Once again, thank you, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Keep it here. Fox News next. Serving Emmett, Idaho.